By the time construction began at Giza, the Egyptians, through trial and error, had mastered the perfect pyramid angle, 51 degrees, 50 minutes, 35 seconds. It was the pharaoh Khufu, said to be a despotic monarch, who commissioned the Great Pyramid in 2575 BC, the largest of the Giza tombs. The Great Pyramid stands 481 feet above the Giza plateau and covers over 13 acres. Not to be outdone, his son Khafre built his pyramid immediately to the north, and his successor Menkaure erected his smaller version a short distance away. Now, it's a myth to think of just the pyramid as a single structure, just as a royal tomb. Each pyramid was an elaborate complex of different features, mortuary temples where offerings were made to the dead king, a causeway which linked the pyramid to the mortuary temple, and a large settlement and cemetery for the thousands of workers who labored on the pyramids. There were boat pits for the funerary boats. There were subsidiary pyramids for queens. An elaborate complex, each of them, which cost enormous price in resources. Everybody in ancient Egypt was paid in wages, and the labor forces required to build these pyramids were enormous. And it seems that the populations of entire villages labored on the pyramids during the dry season, or the quiet season, when there was no agriculture going on. And they were fed by the state. And it's been argued that these pyramids were, in fact, as great public works, a device for fostering unity through the kingdom. Economic unity, where people depended on the state, and political unity, by everyone feeling they were serving the sun god. We don't really know. But it seems that unlike the Cecil B. DeMille epics, that the pyramids were not built by slaves, they were built by volunteer labor, by teams from different villages, some of whom have left their inscriptions on the boulders. The pharaohs themselves built the pyramids as their burial places. They were both religious and secular acts, the pyramids. Theologically, they were structures where life and light and death and darkness met. Symbolic sun rays that served as a ladder so that the ruler could join the god sun god Re in the heavens. The pyramid building was also a way of bonding the villagers who labored on the royal tombs to the pharaoh, to the service of the sun god, and to the state. In short, pyramids helped define the power of the pharaoh. As many as 20 or 30,000 people labored on the pyramids during the flood months of summer when agriculture became to a standstill. All were fed by the state. Little is known about the Old Kingdom pharaohs except for their reputation, which comes to us from Herodotus, as being authoritarian rulers. They presided over a society where ranks and titles were all important. The pharaoh's life was a rarefied one, a formal protocol and ceremony in a court fraught with tensions and rivals between the king and his powerful provincial governors. There was always a question hanging over the court. What happened if the king died suddenly? Who would succeed to be the next pharaoh? A very relevant question at a time when life expectancy was short and high infant mortality rates a reality. The court, riven by powerful factions, presided over a society that itself was like a pyramid, with a teeny privileged elite of nobles, high officials and priests, with lesser functionaries and artisans below them, and at the bottom of the pyramid, the vast mass of commoners, whose lives were short, grindingly poor, and consisted of nothing but hard work. The pharaoh and his court lived off the monotonous labor of the commoner. The Giza pyramids were the architectural highlight of the Old Kingdom. Thereafter, pyramid construction tapered off, perhaps because of the expense.